there, everybody. Welcome to a special CES edition of the Android Central podcast. This is weird and crazy, and we have like cameras and lights and tech and stuff. So I'm Phil Dickinson, the editor of AndroidCentral.com, and we've got a whole bunch of people. Let's start over here with somebody. I don't think you've been on a real AC podcast in a while. Richard Devine from the UK.
Maybe one or two. Yeah. Maybe one or two.
It's been a little while. Andrew Marnick from Seattle.
Hey, how's it going?
And we all know Alex Dobie.
Hey, everyone.
You are from, where are you from? You're from England as well.
I am.
So, you don't say.
So we're going to kind of blaze through everything we've seen. I mean, we've been here for 3 days now, but today is actually the first day of CES. And we've kind of probably already seen all the big stuff we're going to see in the Android space.
I mean, I think so, yeah.
The thing about Android now is it's everywhere, right? I mean, it's a commodity. It's on everything. So we can spend the rest of the week just kind of going through all the tiny little Android things that are out there. But let's start with kind of let's just go chronologically and start with Sunday, I guess.
Yeah.
You saw probably the biggest, well, I take it back, you saw it earlier, but probably the biggest thing we've seen announced this week is Samsung's new tablets, right?
Yeah, so we got the Samsung Galaxy Note Pro 12.2 and three new Galaxy Tab Pro tablets. So four tablets in total, Tab Pro 8.4, 10.1, and 12.2, and the larger Note Pro with a 12.2-inch screen. So two larger-sized tablets, two of the largest we've seen on any Android tablet, I think, and certainly one the largest from the largest.
Right. Anything that Android didn't also run Windows in some weird capacity.
Exactly,
I think it's pretty much the largest.
So we have a new Galaxy Note tablet, which is actually kind of large and a little bit heavier than before, but with a very big display. New features in terms of a magazine-based UI that lets you see sort of personal content. So you're moving away from just having a phone-based home screen on a larger device. You've got...
Finally, by the way.
Exactly, and that kind of makes a lot of sense, I think.
Yeah.
We've seen efforts to get things in that direction before, but Samsung now has kind of like a tile display. You say tiles, people think of Windows Phone, but it's a different kind of tile layout. You have weather on the side with some, I guess, notification type stuff.
I think they totally ripped off Windows Phone because rectangles.
I don't know.
I'm kidding.
Where's Dan Rubino?
Yeah. Right.
So we have that now. That's common across all four tablets. That's, I guess, their new way of doing a tablet UI now. We'll see what happens on the phone front later in the year, I guess.
And no menu button.
No menu button. That's a big deal for Android purists, right? Mm-hmm. Because the menu button is a holdover from the Gingerbread days. Right. And now we have a home button in the middle, we have back button, and your task switching button. So that lets you jump into kind of a new task switching UI. It's easier to jump between things, and you could argue that makes much more sense on a large screen device or just any modern Android device, really.
Yeah, the way you see multitasking pop up for, on a Nexus 10, for example, it's just three quarters of the screen is just dead black space, and you just have these little cards. So it's nice to see they're actually doing something, that could actually make sense. You know, when you get to 12 inches, you're usually used to a Windows type UI, so.
And they're doing more with multitasking through multi-window as well. This is the split screen thing they've been doing ever since the original, the Galaxy Note 2, actually.
Right.
So we've got four apps on screen at a time now. You have a grid that you can rearrange and slide around, so you can have, 2x2 grid of stuff. You can have windowed apps now, and they've changed the way windowed apps work so that you can resize them without squishing them out of shape. Mm-hmm. Just really a lot of things to do with making sense of the larger screen size, having more going on at the same time, not limiting yourself to just one app on this massive display.
Also Sunday night we saw NVIDIA at their press conference and the new Tegra 4, no, sorry.
Tegra K1.
Yes. Kind of a big deal. 192 GPU cores in this thing.
They like to say 192 cores. Right. They don't like to specify, it's really just GPU cores.
Right, two versions of it. One is based off kind of current architecture, but one they also previewed for us is based off their new Denver architecture. We're not going to see that till later this year at the earliest, and probably later this year.
But what they're showing off of what it can actually do is pretty impressive. They had some, obviously, just tech demos at this point, ports of old games, but they're talking about the new Unreal Engine being built for the Tegra K1, which is really important. Obviously, they're targeting gamers, but they're showing off games that would take a high-end PC maybe 2 years ago running on a tablet out to a larger display. And that's kind of a big deal when you talk about mobile gaming. You have something that we're talking about approaching PS3, Xbox 360 level graphics.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And with the Unreal Engine 4, you're looking at an engine which is running on next-gen consoles, PS4 level stuff.
Right.
that same engine being targeted now at mobile devices, which is a very big deal.
One of the demos they did was of a human head and a face, and they said, look, that's one of the toughest things to do a demonstration of, because we know what faces look like. It's obvious when something doesn't look right, but damn, it looked good. They kept talking about the crystals in the eyes, and you could see what they were talking about. In fact, I'm not actually here right now. I'm a Tegra K1 render. What else have we seen?
So we got a bunch of new phones from Sony.
Yes,
absolutely.
Well, we had two new phones from Sony. One is the Xperia, I should say Z1S, since we are here in the US.
It is coming to T-Mobile.
It is coming to T-Mobile, finally.
You can say Z when you're...
Can I say Z?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll say Z. So the Z1S. It's basically the same as the Z1 that we've had in Europe for a while. A few small design changes. It has a plastic frame, which makes it slightly lighter. You know, they were keen to reinforce that it was reinforced plastic. Yeah. You know, not necessarily a cheap substance, but it is lighter. Besides that, the phone is, that we still kind of know and love from last year, Snapdragon 800, 5-inch screen, a very, very nice 20.7 megapixel camera.
Right. And the bump storage, of course.
Of course, yeah. They've upped the storage to 32 gigs from 16. So a very, very similar phone. You probably wouldn't notice the difference unless you're very, very familiar with the old one.
And that's what we like to see. We don't want, you know, we don't want the carrier to take over and get a brand new device that's, you know, completely different. Could be, you know, the Z1 is a proven design, and, you know, when we reviewed it, we actually really liked it.
No, it's good. So they've got that. There's also, for global markets, we have the Z1 Compact. Sony was saying they're not calling it the Mini because the Mini name has connotations of being lower spec. With a compact, it is the same internals basically that's in the larger one, just in a smaller frame. So it's just been shrunken down. You're not dealing with lower end specs. It's effectively the same phone, just smaller.
And actually, one thing they pointed out about that was they went to an IPS display in that one, and we looked at them side by side, and we've kind of knocked Sony phones before for having really bad viewing angles when you look at them off axis. The Z1 Compact is amazing. I mean, you know, when you see an IPS display, you know that, you know, it's crystal clear, it's, you know, gapless, and you look at it from the side and it looks the exact same. For some reason, they're not doing that in the Z1S, but they're looking at it, and hopefully that they start to bring IPS into their other displays too.
See,
Nothing really new from LG this week in the phone space.
No, not really.
They did announce that the G Flex, which is that, you know, curved phone that you can flatten out and it'll spring right back, it's coming to T-Mobile, Sprint, and AT&T sometime this quarter. We don't quite know when yet.
All the carriers have said that it's coming, but, you know, obviously they want to hold back and do their own thing. They don't want to have LG drop the ball for them.
And they're not really showing the carrier versions of the phone yet. I played with it. It's an interesting device. It's big. It's over 5 inches with a 720p display, so the resolution's not all that great on it for a phone of that size.
I think it really still stands as a tech demo, right?
Yeah.
They're using to say, we have the flexible battery, the flexible display, the self-healing back. It's maybe some of this stuff will come in lower capacities to other devices that make a little more sense to everybody.
We did get to see the new Chrome Base
desktop.
All-in-one desktop. Mm-hmm. Chrome OS device. Right. It's not bad.
Yeah, we've seen Chrome boxes before. You could just plug your own keyboard and mouse into. But having the all-in-one is like, you know, for students or for libraries or kiosks, you know, we're expecting this thing to just cost a couple hundred bucks, a few hundred bucks. It's got the same internals as a regular Chromebook. And I don't know. What do you think about the design? It's pretty uninspiring, but...
The resolution was a bit... I mean, it wasn't horrible. I could absolutely use it. I would prefer something a little higher, but... And they didn't have a price on that, did they?
No price.
That's the big question.
They could barely talk about the hardware specs inside, so they're in a... They were really saying this is LG's first attempt at Chrome OS in general. They haven't even done a Chromebook. And so they're saying, you know, we're really trying to take it slow on this, make sure that it's right. And, you know, Chrome OS is still a new thing overall.
I want to move on to cars for a minute, because actually that's kind of big news on a couple fronts. One, going back to NVIDIA and Tegra, is they're really, really pushing to get their tech inside of cars. Some of the higher-end cars you see, I've seen it, Cadillac and their Q. CUE in their Q, I would say devices in their Q vehicles.
Right.
You know, you have dashboards that change dynamically depending on what you're doing and what
you want. Gauge clusters and everything. It's moving away from analog to all digital.
That was one of NVIDIA's big demos. Was here you can choose, you know, the display and what colors you want, what texture you want it to have, and pretty incredible stuff. I have to have to wonder, you know, I was picturing somebody sitting in their car saying, no, I don't want that, no, I don't want that, and like sitting in their car for hours trying to figure out how they want their dashboard.
They talked about doing it in a showroom where you would just have, you know, configured out the door, but there's no reason why. I mean, it's just software. It could change after the fact. And of course, you could see, you know, your showroom saying, oh, come back in for $100, we'll change your gauge cluster for you or something. But, you know, NVIDIA just wants to be get their foot in the door and have their chip in the car in the first place.
Right. Probably the bigger news, though, and this was in the wee hours Sunday night, was Google announced the Open Automotive...
Open Automotive Alliance. And wee hours as in 12:01
Our time.
Monday morning.
Busiest day of CES for us.
And it's not, I mean, it's not that Android is necessarily powering everything behind the car.
Right.
It's not going to look like an Android dashboard. And it's in the early hours, so I'm kind of hesitant. Because anytime we hear Android open anything...
Right. Well, we know Open Handset Alliance, which is bringing Android to all these different OEMs.
And that's important.
And this is supposed to be kind of a compatibility layer, I guess you could say, is not just having Android in the head unit, but saying, even if you have a lower-end stereo or something, it's going to work when you... You know, hook up the Bluetooth. You're going to be able to get your calls. You're going to be able to get streaming. And they're saying that they're going to start rolling this out by the end of 2014 with GM, Audi.
Yeah, Audi.
You can't buy a new car today without it working with an iOS device, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But I can't get into my wife's car, plug in my phone, and be able to flip through tracks or listen to music at all.
And if it works with maybe your Samsung phone, it's not going to work with your HTC phone. And that's going to kind of have to come from the OEMs of the phones, too. I mean, there's so many different variables there that you just don't know what the heck could be the components.
My only hesitation is because when I hear Android... Anything Alliance, I think of the Update Alliance. Which just went nowhere.
Right.
So we will see. But that said, I mean, updates have grown in leaps and bounds since then. So we can make fun of it all we want. But I had a nice meeting with Motorola this morning talking about the witchcraft that they've been able to do to get updates onto their phone, you know, within weeks of major releases.
And the fact is, they're saying this is, you know, truly open. Anybody can come and join, you know, whether it's car makers, device makers, software makers, it doesn't matter. They'll let anybody join. And it's just... The fact that they're thinking about this is really what's important, rather than thinking about their own interests, you know, to try to get people locked in. You know, GM is saying, you know, GM makes a whole bunch of cars, and they're saying that they want Android compatibility.
Yeah, unlike the Open Handset Alliance, it'll be a while before we see solid results from this, before we see what this eventually leads to. So it's going to be the long term.
It's a bunch of big partners, at least, to come out of the gate with and launch, you know, GM, Audi. So... They're not necessarily going to be in everybody's car, but we're going to see something. I mean, everybody here has got, you know, there's cars all over the place. There's Audis, BMWs, and even Samsung's got, you know, Samsung's got a BMW i3, and they're hooking in with the Galaxy Gear, and everybody, the car seems to be like the next playground for all these guys. They want to get
absolutely,
in.
Absolutely, definitely.
You know, they're on your phone, they're on your tablet, and they want to be in your car next. So,
long before any of us even arrived in Vegas, we all heard about this is going to be the show of the wearable. Wearable, whatever, and whether it's watches, whether it's something on your face. And sitting here looking, and the guys in the chat noticed, we're all sitting here wearing Pebbles. So let's start with Pebble. The Pebble Steel was announced this week.
Yeah.
Essentially the same internals. Externally, it's been redesigned a little bit. The buttons are a little closer together, but mainly it's made out of metal now.
It's still a Pebble, through and through.
And it addresses one of the, not concerns, but a complaint was, it's a plastic watch.
It's one of the things that watch fans in particular have pointed out, not necessarily just about the Pebble, but about, you know, the current generation of smartwatches. I like nice watches. Why am I going to buy a Pebble? You know, it's plastic. It's not the premium feeling timepiece that I'm used to. And obviously with the new Pebble Steel, they're kind of addressing part of that.
It's $100 more, and that brings it in the same price range as the Samsung Galaxy Gear, which I still think is a really good watch, especially if you have a Samsung device. Brings you up there with the Qualcomm Talk, which is on sale this week for CES. It's $50 off, so it's down to $300. At some point, do you think we're going to have to... I mean, is any one company going to win here?
It's difficult to say. I think a lot of the players that come in maybe in the next year are going to be looking to use it as effectively a big ecosystem play. Mm-hmm. We've already seen Samsung do it with the Gear, which only works with certain Galaxy devices.
Yeah.
You've got to imagine that when Apple brings out the iWatch, something is going to be similar there. You're going to be able to have to use an iOS device.
And that's, of course, where Pebble's already leaping ahead.
That's
we've got iPhone, we've got Android. They've announced their own app store.
Right.
You know, so they're building their own platform already. that's reaching more people than some of the competitive devices. So
we're a weird use case in that we have to use a lot of phones.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people out there who don't want to worry about what ecosystem they're on. They just want to buy a watch and they want it to work with whatever they have. Right.
Right. I'm kind of excited to see the Talk, which still isn't supposed to be like a huge consumer device, but seeing it drop down $50 at least, and you can get all these on sale from time to time too.
And they were kind of pitching the Talk as other OEMs using it as a reference device, so you could see something that's a little thinner and lighter, but has, you know,
with the Mirasol display.
Still has a Mirasol display. Yeah. I mean, it's a tech demo for Mirasol, but you could see it come down to a smaller form factor like the Pebble that's not, you know, so large and ungainly, and you know, come down in price at the same time when they, you know, plan to sell, you know, a couple hundred thousand of them instead of, you know, a couple thousand.
I would still, I don't think I would not recommend any of those three major watches. And there are absolutely other ones out there. Metawatch is showing off some higher end stuff this week, and we still know
Martian watches are out there.
Watches here. So, I mean, we're just lousy with smartwatches right now. One of the interesting ones we saw today, though, is from LG.
Yeah,
And it's, you know, it's less kind of a smartwatch and
don't
more
call
of
it a watch
a
kind of thing. It's more fitness oriented, kind of, but more in the not active fitness, but it's on supposed to be on you all the time. You know, just like a Fitbit, where it'll track up your steps and your calories burned, and just kind of log all of that into an Android app, and then you know. A week later, a month later, you can start setting goals. You can see your trends and see where you're moving. But then it also has another accessory you put Bluetooth earbuds in that measure your heart rate. So then when you are working out, it'll give you updates about your status of your workout through your ears. And then, you know, you get accurate heart rate information too. And it's, you know, that's the kind of wearable stuff that you don't really think about. You think watches, you don't think measuring your heart rate with earbuds.
It's really bizarre looking. Like, you look at it and you have no idea how it's going to work.
And of course, Sony have also jumped into the kind of activity tracking space this week as well. Okay, they're not launching anything. We're going to hear about it at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, apparently, but they've got this little dongle they call the Core. It goes into just a wristband accessory at the moment, but they were talking about other form factors, so necklaces, you know, literally anything. They've got a bunch of kind of fashion designer type people on board as well to make them look.
They want to make it extremely modular so that it could be in anything.
You just pop the little dongle out.
They talked about putting on a tennis racket or a golf club or something like that, because it's just a little device that can measure things and, you know, give you access to that data.
It's effectively just a little ball with a battery and a bunch of sensors in, isn't it? That's the way it
works. And they're talking about not just tracking activity, you know, like physical activities, but your entertainment, your social, with the new LifeLog application that they announced to go with it.
Yeah.
They basically want to catalog your whole life. So it's kind of it's been shown off here. It's just a little bit slim on some of the details, but they did say that we'll find out more in Barcelona next
month.
Big
hints about what's coming at MWC.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing from the other major manufacturers. Nothing from HTC. They're showing off the One still, and in the entire HTC One family. Nothing new from Motorola. Though, I mean,
we should mention Motorola's got an event next week in London.
Yep. Yes, by the way.
Not an official part of CES, but it came out.
What do you think they're going to announce?
I have no idea. Maybe you have one in your pocket, Phil. Moto X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a giveaway. But
we'll see, but it's totally the Moto X.
We don't know what it is, but it might be the Moto X.
Which is fantastic news for us.
That's
finally.
Really big news, finally getting it outside of North America. Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
What is probably the best thing you guys have seen so far here in Vegas? Outside of the sushi dinner last night. So.
But that was
really pretty
great.
Good. Yeah.
Android specific or just everything?
That's what we're doing.
I actually was really impressed. I saw the Sony stuff for the first time, and I remembered really getting a look at the Sony stuff last year when they, you know, made more of a global rollout of the Z and the ZL, or ZL,
thank
if you,
you
like. So seeing them come back again with a good follow-up this time around, it's one of those things I've always lusted after, the Sony hardware, and now that we have better access to it in the U.S., it just has me really excited. Mm-hmm. And the way that they talk about it, and they're talking about with this Core and, you know, some of their accessories they're doing, it actually sounds like they're really, you know, getting back to that innovation that, you know Sony is capable of.
Yeah, it's the compact, the Z1 compact for me, because I love the Z1 since we saw it at IFA in Berlin, but I just can't use a 5-inch phone. I have small hands. I like the smaller phone, and the fact that they've got that same premium high-end phone in the smaller package, it's got a great-looking screen. It's exactly the same everything else, and it's a really great device. I'm really happy that that it's made it outside Japan.
I'm thinking Samsung's new magazine UI has been one of the more interesting things for me. Along with that, the 8.4-inch Galaxy Tab, I think, is going to be kind of interesting. We've all, I think, come to the conclusion independently that that sort of 8 to 9-inch level is where you want to be for the sweet spot for tablets. They also showed the larger ones as well. I think definitely the smaller tablets are where it's at. And, of course, you have high-end specs in there and this really interesting new interface. So that was kind of interesting for me.
I think for me it's going to be the prospect of actually getting a car that plays nice with my phone. Because I'm slowly starting to look at getting a new car. Maybe next year, we'll see. I don't know. My wife's hearing this for the first time. She's like, no! Not yet. But that was a big consideration for me. So the prospect of possibly getting this, and I know we're kind of early, is a big deal for me, and that's kind of big news. On Wednesday, we've got the next T-Mobile Uncarrier event,
yep,
which should be fun. I don't know if John Lesser is going to get kicked out of his own event, or if Ralph De La Vega is going to crash it, or Randall Stevenson, or
as
what?
As long as he's not got Michael Bay on stage with him, should be fine.
Michael Bay will show up and talk for 2 hours straight. I don't know. That was, by the way, if you hadn't seen it,
I don't know how.
The total freak out at Samsung's event. You know, whatever. It's not a huge deal for I think this conference for the show. But
you see crazy stuff every year.
But. Exactly. So I think that's going to do it for this. We've still got a few more days here in Vegas. We're going to go see what we can find. I think the big stuff is probably behind us. Mm-hmm. We're going to go see what fun stuff we can find now.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So Richard, Andrew, Alex, all you guys, thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for watching, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.